And I thought, this is weird. I renounced that. Let me say this. This is how it works. I believe the movie Jesus Christ Superstar was not intended to glorify God or make him look like the Lord. But at the time that I saw it, I didn't know anything about the gospel. And for me, it got me excited enough to go read the Bible. And I was amazed at how real a lot of it, what they said was. So because I was in such darkness, I saw the light. Why was there light in that movie? Because they actually did use scripture in the songs. And they actually used scripture in some of what went on. The spirit behind it, I don't believe now, is the Holy Spirit. But I think it's pretty cool that if you have so much darkness going on in your own life with no understanding, that the gospel itself has the power, even when it's trying to bring questions about who Christ is. But because it made me go to the Word, and it actually was used by God, what was meant for evil was turned to good. It was used by God to start a movement in this nation with young people and with the hippie group. And I believe we should pray that the Passion movie does greater than that. Now, the Passion movie is based on scripture given to a human being, so there can be flaws in it, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and is being spoken so as such, and with no compromise. What a greater revelation. But I asked God, why is this happening in my brain? And it was the song from it, because I used to listen to the soundtrack over and over, and I renounced all that, and the Lord said, because a spirit of blasphemy, break the power of it. So I didn't. When, actually, right in the movie, I said, you're not going to ruin this movie. And then I watched the movie, and I was fine. I didn't have one more thought like that. But what happened is, even though we renounced the stuff before, a strong man is the spirit that rules. The strong man brings in spirits under him. Like if a strong man leaves, he comes back with seven more devils. That's the Bible, okay? What we've been doing a lot, because we didn't have the revelation yet, we've been not feeding these devils. We've been renouncing them. We've been hating them. And because they've lost a lot of power in our life. But what happens when you go in and finally get to the strong man and we yank him out and we dethrone him? Now those little demons are running going, ah! So you got blasphemous thoughts. Some people have anger. People have had confusion. All these weird things. Well, those were all reprobate. Do you understand? Those all came in when you didn't believe truth. And they didn't have to actually leave until you got rid of the strong man. So what I wanted to do tonight was go down the list of the spiritual, the fruit of that strong man. And let's get rid of them. And we're gonna rip through this pretty fast. If you haven't had the teaching on some of these, more than likely we have a whole tape series on it. And we can help you to get that. So, because you still have to know the truth to set you free, even if it's a smaller demon than the reprobate. Does this make sense to everybody? But for some of us, it's like, why did I get hit so hard? Well, think about it. It was all hidden under, it was bound up and you weren't feeding it, so it was hidden under this reprobate thing, but now it's gone. And do you think God wants to keep those guys hidden in there? No. When the Holy Ghost wants something to surface, it surfaces. And all of a sudden it's like, what? And the first thing is, wow, why am I doing this again? Well, because you didn't have the strong man out before. Well, why didn't God reveal the strong man first? I don't know. Why is he restoring the church backwards? Maybe he wants us to really understand it. Maybe he wants us to work our way up from the littler junk to the big stuff. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not in charge. Maybe I just do everything backwards and this is how I learned it. I don't know. I just know I'm where I'm at and God sent people free. So what scriptures... Romans 1:28. We're back in Romans. We're going to finish this up. I think it's awesome as God setting everybody free. Verse 21, real quick. Because knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. But they became vain in their reasonings. Vain in their reasonings. Let's look up vain. Your torment's going to begin here. First of all, we talked before about reasoning. And it's a really powerful teaching called temptation. It's got a serpent on it and a tree and all that over there. Do you know you don't sin until you begin to reason? Eve messed up when she began to talk to the devil and start to let him get in there to exchange truth. After my daughter died, I had total victory over sorrow and grief. Until I went to a meeting and the pastor knew my story. And I'm not coming against this man. I know his heart was right. But he heard that I got past sorrow and grief in one day, and he was an expert in ministering to people in sorrow and grief, and he thought it was impossible. So he began to, from the pulpit, He tried to corner me. God is so funny. I normally used to sit in the front. The Lord said, sit in the back, sit right here in this place, because he put me in a place where he couldn't get his hands on me, this evangelist. And he heard my story. I know he heard my story because he was standing behind me in the line for breakfast, and I was sharing it with somebody. And so he began to preach that there was somebody there who'd recently lost a daughter, and you thought God had healed you from sorrow and grief. Where were you? And he looks right at me. I really wanted to be whole. I mean, I went to the meeting for Doug because God wanted to give him the joy of the Lord. And this man was anointed in that, the healing from laughter. So I was kind of confused, like, Lord, I opened up my reasonings, what I did. I knew God had healed me from sorrow and grief. There was fruit in my life. God gave me 3 scriptures about it. It was settled. And I'm going to tell some of you right now how to stop coming into torment. When you have something settled between you and God, I'm talking settled, it's based on scripture, and you know it's truth, you close the door on it. For example, your salvation. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He promises you that. He promises that. If you let the devil come in and start saying, well, he might forsake you. What's the devil doing? He's trying to reason with you. Vain reasoning. Okay? When you begin to start to say, well, would he forsake me? Is there something I could do so bad? Do you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you're giving the devil an entire access to your brain. Don't debate him. Don't talk to him. Cast him down. It never says to do anything but cast him down. Cast down every vain imagination that goes against the word of God. What's that saying? Don't let a reprobate spirit get in and exchange truth for a lie. Cast it down. It doesn't tell you ever to think about it. Well, what happened is I wanted to be teachable because I was being accused of not being teachable. Only because I wouldn't go along with lousy doctrine. I wasn't making trouble. I wasn't being mean. I would just ask things like, could you show me that in the Word? And they couldn't, and upset people. And so because I was being told I wasn't teachable, and I knew the Lord told me to go to this meeting, I began to open my mind a little bit to God. Am I really suffering sorrow and grief, and this is false, and I'm going to go through something horrible? And oh my gosh, the minute I begin to reason with this lying spirit, I went into confusion. I couldn't think straight. It was unbelievably horrible. I even looked funny if you're watching me. One thing I've learned, don't let anybody pray for you when you're totally messed up, because I wasn't confused when I walked in there. I didn't have the enemy tormenting me in any other area. If you're under fear and torment, you walk in confused. So you can hear the truth and go bonkers. But that wasn't the case. I had perfect victory in that area. And so what happened was, when I opened my mind to, God, I want to be teachable. Did you bring me here to show me I have sorrow and grief? When he already showed me, you shall obtain joy and sorrow will flee from you. And he showed me the scriptures and he made it so clear. I was like thanking him, rejoicing at what the cross had done for me, but trying to be teachable. And so as soon as I got out of there, I never did let him pray for me. I got in my car and I was praying. I said, God, show me. And all of a sudden it began to clear. I began to talk it out. As I began to declare, no, Lord, your word says, you say, that I shall obtain joy and sorrow will flee, and I've obtained it. That's truth. Why? Because it's the Bible. When someone says, I've been doing this for years, and no one has ever gotten free without at least a year of depression, without a year. Where is that in the Bible? Don't let experience take the place of truth. The minute I begin to open my heart, but see, I knew enough because of the teaching the Lord had given me to get in that car and say, wait a minute, what does the Bible say? Is there a scripture that says I have to have sorrow and grief? Is there a scripture that says, actually, no, Lord, there's scriptures that says the opposite. And I chose to believe truth. Now, I didn't even know the stuff I know now. It'd be a lot easier now. I chose to believe truth, and that reprobate spirit trying to bring sorrow and grief into my life had to flee. Hallelujah. But I learned something. I went to God. I said, why did I go? And he said, when I have showed you something in my word, and it is yes and amen, close the door and don't reason with the enemy. If you know God has set you free from depression, Marion, you just close the door when he comes back knocking. Nope, I am not believing you. I went down that road and I'm not going back. By the way, just for talking to me, I ask God that he gives you 50 times worse punishment on the day of judgment, and I get to see your ugly face suffer for talking to me today. Bible says punish their disobedience. I want them to hate coming to my house. I want him to say, oh man, when we go and try to torment her, she's not going to receive it. She's never received it. She believes the word no matter what. It doesn't matter what things look like. She's going to believe the word. She really does believe it. She's not trying to work it. She knows Jesus. Man, I'm going to show up there and you know what's going to happen? She's going to give me a punishment of Satan. It's happened to everybody else who went to her house. And I really believe that many of them take off and say, I'll take my chances with Satan before I'm going to forever have a harsher punishment. You want them knowing your name and saying, oh man, it never works when you go there. It never works at that house. Man, she's smart enough to get in the word. If she loses her peace, she knows to run to God and not make a single move or decision till it's regained and she's repented and she's seen truth. We have not been mature or taught how to really fight. Let him guard your heart with peace. Let him guard your mind with peace. The minute you start to lose that peace, don't go with that flow. Stop everything. Get in the word. Find out. Lord, how can the devil do this? I said, well, how could the devil do this? And he'll show you because of this door, because of this door. That's what all that teaching is. Vain. Yeah, I told you this would be fast tonight. I'd rather get it real and done and covered than try to zip through something and have another tape series. Listen to this. Listen to this. Remember it says to begin to have vain reasonings, having no real value, worthless reasonings, ineffectual, unsuccessful, useless, foolish, silly, showing undue or excessive pride in one's appearance or achievements. Conceited, that's the other thing. Ooh, in an irreverent, blasphemous matter. You should not take the Lord God's name in vain, in a blasphemous manner. Whew. So he's saying here, we all need to repent for that one. If we've ever done it, now that we realize it's reprobate. When you do not begin to understand God and glorify him as God and be thankful, in other words, when you begin to grumble, complain, blame God, not see him for his faithfulness, not understand how awesome he is, when you begin to buy into doctrine that makes us look good and him look bad, no matter how we make it sound good, he is saying, you have now turned yourself over to vain reasoning, blasphemous reasoning. You're no longer lifting up who he is. You are now making him into the image that the devil wants you to make him into because you don't understand who he is. Even the earth shows us who he is. That's what this is. And then it says, once you go into vain reasonings, your undiscerning heart is darkened. You lose discernment. You buy into things like we came from apes. That's vain reasoning. It's blasphemous. What is the devil saying? What is being taught throughout our education system? We're made in the image of God. That's the Bible. So what? Don't you think the devil loves that? They're made in the image of an ape. A stupid, can't think, can't make very many decisions, very low IQ ape. Let's make them buy that. Let them buy it as a Christian nation. And you know what? We did. Reprobate. The minute they begin to teach that, the minute they took prayer out of the school, the minute we begin to go into reasonings that are vain, blasphemous, against God and his word, there's not a single scripture to back up evolution. Not one. I don't care what a scientist, you know what a scientist, what these people do? They're intellectual reprobates, many of them, who make up what they want to believe and then come up with enough years. Well, it was 8 million trillion years. Why do they say that? Because you can't prove anything that was 8 million trillion years ago. I mean, how can you tell a rock is 8 million trillion years old or whatever? You can't tell. It's a rock with some dirt or whatever on. Who knows? They do that. They put that time thing there because they think this will fool enough people. You know what? A long time ago, even as a child, I decided if I'd believe what the Bible said. Abortion isn't murder. I said, well, then let go and let's see what happens. If it's not a baby, if it's just tissue, then leave it alone. Why do you want to suck it out of there if it ain't a baby? I mean, even anybody with any true brains, Christian or non-Christian, realizes that it wouldn't even be an issue if it weren't a baby.